Hey, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tara.
And you're listening to
Growing with Letty and Lucy.
Oh, I'm so obsessed with this thing. It's ridiculous. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Stephanie.
How are you?
Good. How are you? How are you feeling this week?
I'm doing better. It comes in waves, but so everybody who tuned in last week, I appreciate your patience. Like I said on our last episode, it's been a hard week. I there's things that happen where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna text Jason, and I can't text Jason. But I will tell you that coming off the heels of the interview with Robbie, and then going straight from Robbie's challenges to us to try to be more plant-based and exploring that, to literally 2 days later having such a close friend die of a heart attack at 43 years old. I mean, he was young, younger than me, which is scary. It snapped my booty into gear. I've exercised every day. I've gone totally plant-based 2 days a week. So I'm doing Mondays and Thursdays are my plant-based days where, I mean, I'm still doing eggs, but like I'm using vegan cheese. I'm using, you know, for omelets and stuff, which we talked about. I like omelets. But I'm really trying to lighten things up in my own life and just be really way more aware. My husband and I are, instead of like getting the kids to bed and then going downstairs at 9:30 and hanging out and watching shows and stuff, we're going right into bed and we're like reading. We've really used the situation to, I don't want to say to our advantage, but we've used this really, really horrible situation to try to turn it around into something more positive for us.
And that could be a legacy that you give to Jason. And absolutely. I know I saw on your personal account today, you're on that Peloton and you're giving him the credit for, you know, inspiring you to get going. And I think that's awesome. And it's interesting how close those two things happened to each other. Talking to Robbie, because I know I did my week of dairy free from Robbie.
Wow. How was that?
It wasn't nearly as hard as I thought it was going to be. I will say, because I counted it from Thursday when the podcast aired through Wednesday, and Wednesday night we went to an old school kind of drive-through place to celebrate something. And I did technically not make it all the way through because I had my favorite banana milkshake. And I will tell you, I did not feel good. And that was a testament. So I'm committing with you, and we are, as we do with everything, supporting each other through it. And I think you and I have, after lots of extremes back and forth, we have learned in our middle age to take things in a little bit more measured approach. So I love, we haven't talked about this, but I do love that you said that you had are doing 2 days, because that's kind of where I'm falling. I'm trying to take it out of a repetition. So my hardest thing, I had this whole poll on Facebook with my friends. I don't know if you saw that, with dairy free my coffee.
Oh yes, I did. So I did comment on that.
That's my hardest thing, because that's probably my most consistent use of dairy. And I only really typically have one cup of coffee a day, so I don't feel like it's a ton, but I do think it's somewhere that I can make an impact. So I'm committing for the time being to be, well, I have to, because I bought everyone's recommendations. So now I have like 85 different coconut
creamers,
cashew, whatever else there are, oat milk creamer. So I will be, for the foreseeable future, doing that. I'm trying to not eat cheese as a reflex. Yeah. So if I get I did it actually yesterday. We got hamburgers and I didn't even think about it. I ordered a cheeseburger and I thought, I don't need that. I don't need to add the cheese to the burger. I know this is not
so good.
This is not what Robbie's intention was for me. You didn't tell me. I am going to be committing to moving into doing at least one full animal, a vegan day.
Yeah.
And I would like to increase that as time goes on, but I'm not committing to jumping in anything extreme because
yeah,
over the years that when I do that,
it fail. Extremism's so always fail for me.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, and I think that's what this is. So, you know, Jason passed away on Friday. So by the time this airs, it will have been just 2 weeks. It's very, very fresh. And you know, he was overweight and he was really yep. stressed out with work. And like, I don't want to divulge too much information, but he's the CEO of a podcast network and like the whole industry felt this. Everybody in comedy podcasts, especially, felt this. I'm sure I haven't even been able to listen to any of the shows just because it's like too sad to hear what people are probably saying. But it really made me go, you know, we have this one time right now and we need to make the most of it and the best of it. And so what I'm doing is I am overweight and I am trying to not lose weight to look away, but lose weight to keep myself healthy. I have that apple shape that is like all my weight is in my upper half of my body and my legs are like twigs. So if I wore like a plastic bag, Same. It'd be like fashion statement because skinny little legs and a big old round everything else.
Same. And switch is the most dangerous body
yes,
type.
For, it is I the mean, heart attack prone body
My mother
type.
Loves to tell me about mm. how all your weight around your heart.
Yeah,
and,
it
and
really
exactly
is.
Exactly the same.
Yeah. So I started researching more sustainable lifestyles because like you know already, I've done Weight Watchers. I've done keto. I've done like
40 days of enlightened eating.
I'm 40 days of enlightened eating, which I absolutely love. But with little kids, it's really hard to stick to that. And, mm-hmm. you know, and so I found this thing called the 5-2 diet, and it is 5 days normal, 2 days tracking. And on those 2 days, you eat between 500 and 600 calories, and that's it. Well, guess what? Arugula, broccoli, cauliflower.
Almost zero calories.
Almost zero. You know what I've been doing? On those days, I wait until like 10 or 11, and then I make an omelet. And yes, I have eggs. So that's like my one thing that I'm eating on those days. So I'm not saying I'm vegan on those days. It is plant-based, but still having eggs. But if I do 2 eggs, a spritz of olive oil spray, so much asparagus, and then a little bit of Daiya cheese, the like fake cheese. Mm-hmm. It is a super huge, super filling omelet that lasts me hours. And then it's a huge bowl of arugula with some lemon and some olive oil. And a huge, like, you know what I mean? Like you can eat like massive amounts of vegetables on those days. Robbie, we love you. Better is better. And that's what
better
I'm doing.
Better is better. And that's
better
it,
is better.
Right?
Yep. And then this whole like going to bed at, you know, earlier at night, I'm not intentionally going, okay, I'm going to start my intermittent fasting right now. It's 6 o'clock. But you know what? When I eat dinner and then I get my kids in the bath and then I go into their bedroom and I get them to sleep and it's 9 o'clock and I'm not going downstairs and shoving my face full of ice cream, I'm intermittent fasting on accident. And, you know, and I've lost a couple pounds so far, and it's been a week and a half since this has started. So I'm seeing that my body is reacting positively to, you know, the stress, and thank the Lord God Almighty. I never say that, but I'm saying that right now, that I have my farm stand because I've been able to go out and, you know, take my produce directly from there on Mondays and Thursdays specifically, and using that more for myself than I am for anybody else. But I think this whole thing just taught me that it is time to prioritize my health and my longevity in this life, because you never know how long you have. And I don't want to do anything in my life that's going to take me away sooner than I need to go. And, you know, it's so stupid. But then last night.
And your kids are so little.
They're so little. And I mean, you guys, Jason died on his daughter's 17th birthday.
That's
like,
so awful.
That is not okay. You know, it just absolutely breaks my heart. You know, his wife went from saying happy birthday to 12 hours later saying I just lost my anchor. You know, like it is gut wrenching. And my kids are little, and I'm going to be much older when they're 17 years old, you know, because I did wait forever to have them. So put the fear of all things in my life. But I have to take that. I was just telling somebody else today, like, I'm taking the way that I'm mourning and I'm trying to create a good habit while I'm mourning so that when I am, not to say that I'll ever be done mourning him, but at this or his loss, but like by the time I can get through the day without, you know, being brought to tears, that will be a habit that will stick. And so I'm really focused on that. And
I think that this goes to our topic today. So we do have an interview for you today, and I think that you will see some through lines here. We kind of get into it more towards the end of the interview, but we did talk to today our very first teenager, and
Mariah
and her mom Kathy, who, if you are in the group, you may have seen Kathy respond to our request for some newbies. Like, really interesting to talk to someone just on the start of their journey. But we get into talking a little bit about some
worm juice.
Yeah, lots of so worm juice and some a little bit deeper things that tie into what you're talking about with Jason, about how this farm stand means so much to so many people. Absolutely. In different ways, and how Mariah and her family are focusing, getting a lot of positives and focusing their energy during a difficult time for various reasons that we get into. On the farm stand and how it's become a source of joy in a difficult year and some difficult outside things, or some things that are going on in their family. So,
And that's interesting too.
Conversation.
Yeah, we do have a really good conversation. And I think something worth noting is that the entire world has had a hard last year. Every single person in the entire world, or the entire civilized world, has experienced a real trauma in the last year. But you know what? That doesn't change the number of people that are going through other things, like sicknesses and, you know, horrible illnesses and stuff like that aren't COVID. And so in a place where we're already like beaten down, sounds cliche and really silly, but that little joy of life that keeps growing out of my stand is everything. Like, it really is
super simple to just
so simple
focus, and it's not only to focus your energy, because as we talk about it, it's not that much energy to grow for the farm store, but it is something to focus your mental energy to thinking about.
Absolutely.
It's a routine, which in this like kind of upheaval of all of our routines have been upheaval.
Upheaved.
Well, who knows.
Turned upside down. Let's change the word altogether.
Turned upside down. All of our routines. It's a routine that you can focus on in this kind of sea of what the heck is happening. But on top of putting your energy into it, it's giving you that positive energy back, because when you go out there and you can grab
Mint to put in.
I was gonna say water? Arugula, but in honor of Mariah, I will not say arugula. I will say a tomato, a mint, or your first strawberry, or that you do.
Yeah,
unfortunately, you guys don't get to see see the faces of the people that we talk to, or our expressions, but Mariah's little teenage face lit up when she talked about the first flowers blooming on the stand. Yeah. So it's palatable of seeing that. So anyway, you have anything else to add before we jump in?
No, I think we are ready. Oh, I do. There's one thing. If anybody, and this is totally out of character for me and on this show, but if anybody is interested in donating to Jason's family who was left behind, there is a GoFundMe. I'm going to keep that link in our descriptions. You can go there. They were sideswiped, you know, like they just had no idea. They were not set up properly for losing their earner and their literally their anchor. And he has a 17-year-old who's going to want to go to college. She's been working her butt off since the day I've known her. She's been like a straight A student, you know, and she needs to be cared for. And so if you are so inclined, there is a link to a GoFundMe that one of our friends started for him and their family. So that is all. With all of that said, we are going to take the burdens and the weight and the heavy, and we are going to let it go and find our joy and better is better. Eat our good foods, eat our healthier lifestyles, have a great interview with a teenager about her farm stand and what's happening in her life and how it's affecting her. And we just hope that you enjoy, and we'd love to hear your comments back on the page.
Yep.
Enjoy the episode.
Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. This is Stephanie from Growing with Letty and Lucy. And today we have two lettuce grow growers. We have a mom and daughter team. We have Kathy and Mariah. I don't even know your last name. Wells? Okay. I do know your last name. So we have Kathy and Mariah Wells with us today. Mariah is actually our very first teen that we've talked to. So hey, Mariah and Kathy, how are you guys doing today?
Good. Really good. Thank you.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
We found you guys through the Lettuce Grow community. So I'm sure, well, I'm not sure. I'll just assume that Mariah is probably, like most teenagers I know, is not on Facebook.
That's absolutely right, isn't it, Mariah?
All right.
It's for old people.
Good mama. Yeah.
No, don't. I mean, I don't know what your stance on social media is, but for most teenagers I know, it's not even about the parents. It's about the kids.
Right.
It's for us, all us.
They don't want to be on it.
That's right. So I wanted to talk to some people who are just starting their growing season, because Stephanie and I are a year into this. We've gone through the summer, which is, you know, the big growing season for most people.
Oh, yeah.
For all those big plants, tomatoes and zucchinis and all the money plants are. We wanted to get a perspective from someone starting new. And you guys answered the call, and that would be interesting when you said, Kathy, that your kids are helping. You have an older child also that's not a teenager. Is that correct?
Luke is 20, and he's here because part of ours for college. And he did all the electronics. He's an IT major.
But fun.
Mariah did most everything else. She put the stand together, and she set up the grow lights, and you do the pH testing every week, and you add the nutrients. Yep. It's more her thing than it is mine. Yeah.
That's awesome. Have you ever grown before, Mariah?
No. No, this is a brand new adventure, and I've considered myself as having a brown thumb. I could kill anything.
Me too.
And mostly it's because I forget to water. So we're really excited. We're in about week three, and we'll give you, do you want to show her what the lettuce stand looks like?
There's our lettuce stand.
And
nice. Beautiful. So it looks like a 36 port stand.
It's a 36.
Awesome.
Stand. And we're actually even growing outside too. And that garden also looks fabulous. So it's helped us inside and out, which turned us kind of
literally
into green. Yeah.
That's amazing. Awesome. I was going to say, I'd love to hear from you. What did you think of the farm stand when your mom first, I'm assuming your mom first brought it to your attention, but if not, how did you learn about it, and what attracted you to the farm stand?
I thought the way that it grew plants was kind of interesting. I had never heard about hydroponics before.
And what do you think about them now? What do you think about it?
I think it's cool.
Kind of like a science experiment right there in your house. There's whole college majors around hydroponic growing. I just actually learned our neighbors across the street have two college-age kids, one of which is going to Cal Poly, and he is in the hydroponic club at Cal Poly.
Cool.
And they have whole majors surrounding it.
We forgot a basic question. Where are you guys? I know you're Central Time, but where are you growing? Where do you live?
Forney, Texas.
Oh, cool. So is it, I don't know anything about where that particular part of Texas is, but is that
Dallas,
like,
is? We're east of Dallas.
Okay.
So we're about 20, 30 minutes east of Dallas.
Are you guys facing a big storm that's coming in tonight? Or are you just on the east side of it?
We don't know.
You don't know.
We're not very much into Washington. We did mow the lawn today, so that would fit if we got the storm, at least we got it before we mowed.
So then are you planning on, are you going to protect your stand at all? To like, just in case. I know my brother lives in Oklahoma with his wife and their family. My sister was out there visiting them, and she and her family took an RV out there, and they were like, oh my gosh, we slept in the RV in Texas last night, and they said the winds were like 40 to 60 miles an hour, and it feels much worse when you're in an RV. They have two little kids too. So they were like, get me out. Like, go back home to California right now. But are you guys facing any of that? Is that something that would make you need to move your farm stand in?
Their farm stand's inside.
Inside in the office. We have an outside garden. Oh, the farm stand is inside.
Yeah. I totally misunderstood. I thought you had one outside and one inside. You have one stand and it is inside.
One stand inside.
I'm tracking with you now. All right, cool. So then you don't have to worry about that at all. You mowed your lawn. You're fine.
Yep.
Okay. I'm wondering actually, and this might be, I would love to hear if Mariah has something to say about this, but it might be more Kathy. Why you decided to grow inside on your stand instead of outside?
Because it's so hot in Texas, and because I've historically killed things so quickly.
Okay.
I was, burn our plants to death. We were scared they would burn, and I wasn't sure. I wasn't confident I could grow anything, and so I thought, and I wanted to be able to grow enough food that we could eat, and I was interested in lettuce and spinach and things that don't do well in the heat. So
okay.
We decided to try indoors, and you took to it faster than I did, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. It basically arrived and Mariah took over.
I think that's really cool because I think we do find that most people growing inside are because they live in a really cold winter climate.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're probably closer to our weather during the winter, at least in Southern California. It doesn't get too, too cold in Texas.
No, not normally, although we had Snowmageddon this year, so...
That's right.
You do get ice storms. I remember that. I came very close to moving to Plano and actually worked. We had an office in San Diego and Plano. So I would go back and forth a lot many, many years ago. And I do remember ice storms as being an issue for staffing purposes.
And Texas had like a major hit this year. I know we have my husband's uncle and aunt, and then their kids and their children all live in Houston. And two of the sisters went out of town with their husbands and left all the kids at the grandparents. And that was the day the power went out.
Oh, and no.
They were in that snowmageddon, as people have been calling it, with I think it was like six kids and grandma and grandpa or Nana and Papa, whatever they call them. And like, they were just
all the dads.
It was bad. It was good.
So
you guys are growing in Texas. Have you ever had any history or interest in growing anything, Mariah? Have you ever give me some background on you?
I've had a couple of succulents, but my cat has eaten most of them.
Yeah, cats are a big. I've had to train my cats because I have a lot of indoor plants and they're a pain in the butt.
Oh yeah.
Has your cat bothered your stand at all?
She's interested in it, but she hasn't tried to mess with any of the plants.
She eats your spinach though.
She does eat the spinach.
When did you guys start your stand? Like how long has it been and what stage are you at in your growth?
2 to 3 weeks, I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we're early still.
Really new.
Have you eaten anything from it yet?
Yes,
every day.
Oh my gosh, amazing.
That's awesome.
That's because you have the grow lights, and the grow lights help stimulate growth faster. Mine, it sounds like I have mine, I reset mine 3 weeks ago yesterday, and I just had my first salad from it last night at dinner. So like you guys are doing great if you've been eating from it for a while now and you're only 3 weeks out. That's huge.
We eat every day off of it, don't we, Mimi? Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
It sounds like that you probably planned well. I always now, I don't know if you guys have listened to the podcast at all, but I say my biggest tip for new growers is to grow things that will harvest quickly because that's what's going to keep you engaged because it's so rewarding. I think we both started a little later in the season last year, so we're not quite at a year yet. And I went heavy on like tomatoes. Those take a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't get that immediate gratification of eating off the stand. So that's awesome. If already less than 3 weeks in, you guys are eating off the stand.
What's your favorite thing on the stand, Mimi?
It's between spinach and the chives.
Ooh.
You love the chives.
Regular chives or garlic chives?
Oh, we have garlic and onion chives.
Which one do you like better?
I'm leaning towards the garlic just because I like the taste of garlic a little bit more.
She's yeah. our people.
Yes.
I feel the same way.
I preach about the garlic chives and the wasabi arugula always are my two favorite things. And I don't think the wasabi arugula is only available in the winter. So you guys probably haven't had
it. We haven't had that, but I would probably, I love the arugula. You think the arugula we've got too bitter is too bitter for you, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. I already don't like arugula much though.
It's definitely a preference thing for sure. Yeah, what are you, for sure. I think because we already touched on it, so I'm just going to go rogue, Stephanie. But we usually do a lightning round at the end with guests. But because you guys are like newer, like these questions don't work as well. So you already touched on, I was going to modify one of our questions that we ask is what surprised you the most? But I don't think you've been growing enough. So I was going to ask what you're excited about, like upcoming. What are you growing right now that you're excited to like, that will be ready to harvest later?
What do you think?
Well, I'm the most excited about the flowers. We got a lot of edible flowers. They're slower growing. They're on the top and they're when we added the last stand. But I'm excited about those green beans too, aren't you, Maria?
I'm excited about the strawberries and the green beans.
Oh, the strawberries and the green beans, and they'll take a while.
How? But yeah. So yeah. That's a good question. The green beans.
We had a gardening stand. It wasn't hydroponic. It was just like a growing stand and we put a bunch of strawberries in it. And the summer heat came and killed off all of them.
They can be finicky.
They sure can.
So I'm excited to grow the strawberries and get those this year.
We've had a lot of fun. We planted some seedlings, and until our last seedlings came, we had squash that got really big and fat. We put them in the green containers, and it this 100% of the seedlings germinate. And then they thrived and got really big, really fast in the farm stand. We haven't perfected how to move them outside and not kill them yet. So
neither have I. So don't worry.
Neither have we. I tried to move my marigolds over and they quickly fried to death because, you know, they weren't getting all the water. But I think it's possible. It probably just takes a little bit more babying than you're used to once you get used so spoiled by the farm stand. It's so easy. How many strawberry seedlings and how many green bean seedlings are you do you currently have planted?
We have, I think, I want to say 3 green beans.
And 3 strawberries, right?
And 3 strawberries, yeah.
That's great. I was going to say, because you're a family of 4, correct? Uh-huh. And I had one green bean plant, and I got a decent amount, and they were so yummy last year. But I had to eat them in secret, like at lunch or something, because I didn't – I had plenty, like if you added them all together through the growing season, I had plenty to share, but – in any one time, I only had enough for one serving. So good call on having multiple.
I was going to ask about that too, because I did green beans last year and was super excited. I did all like fruiting things initially, I feel like, because I was so excited. But my green beans gave me maybe 5 green beans total.
Oh.
And so my kids and I were fighting over them because my kids are big veggie eaters and like my 5-year-old is obsessed with a farm stand. Like I'm bragging on my kid for a minute. He knows the difference between oregano, basil, cilantro, parsley, celery. Like that's he can awesome. Taste the difference at 5. And that's all because of the farm stand. So that's really cool. He has a huge palate too. And he'll go and pick arugula straight off of it and eat it. Like he loves it. But we only got like maybe I'd say 5 to 10 green beans. And so I'm curious about how they're doing indoors. Like, do you see any flower yet? Or have you seen any pods starting to grow?
We've seen pods starting to grow. I've seen 3 on one of our plants starting to grow.
Wow.
And the really cool thing about the green beans is we just added them. When we added the last tower, they've only been in for about a week, right, Maya? And they're huge. They're overtaking. Maybe a week and a half.
Way.
And they're overtaking the stand. They're huge. They're developing pods. They're
awesome.
They're huge.
That's amazing. Well, that's a testament right there that that you can be a teenager and grow your own food in your own house with little effort and actually yield a result. Like, that's huge. That's a really big testimony. Well,
it makes you a lot more open about eating vegetables now, right? Mm-hmm. You call him Edward and you talk to him and you eat him.
That's awesome.
Your farm stand's name is Edward?
The farm stand's name is Liliana, and all the plants are named Edward. They're a hive mind.
I love it. That's so cute. How do I get my 15-year-old? Like, he eats vegetables. He likes vegetables. He used to love when I used to garden outside and he would be interested in it. My dad has a garden. He's always been interested in that. But I guess he's such, I tease him because he says I'm a basic mom. So now I tease him that he's a basic teen. But he's like, how do I get him interested? What caught your interest?
I did research into hydroponic gardening and I thought the science behind it was really interesting.
And you knew I had to have help building because I'm not good at it, so you knew you were gonna have to do it together.
Otherwise it was gonna sit in the corner and collect dust.
And it was kind of a fun challenge to build and take care of. It's really fun. Especially with the pH testing and watching it change colors.
Mm-hmm.
And then having to compare those to the sheet was really enjoyable for me.
And you enjoy tasting all the different vegetables mm-hmm. and getting to know what they are, and you enjoy pulling that app out and identifying them, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because that pH thing was because I had gardened before outside. There's a lot of stuff to think about outside that the farm stand like takes away. But the pH thing, I find it interesting that intrigued you because that intimidated me in the beginning. True. Because it's not something you really, I mean, I think if you're really advanced in gardening, you probably know the pH of your soil. But I think for a simple, normal.
Not me.
Yeah. So I know because there are definitely I've seen that because I follow gardening, Instagrams and stuff, that there are people who pay attention to this pH, but not typical everyday gardeners. So it's interesting to me that is something that intrigued you. It's funny because you see this with the farm stand. It really simplifies it and it makes it fairly standard across the board. But then when Stephanie's talking about her green beans, she had got 5 and I got a lot. And we are essentially, I don't know if you're familiar, I'm in San Diego, California, and she's in LA, which is not too terribly
not
different
very
places.
Far apart. Yeah, I grew up in San Francisco, so yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. And then whereas I got no success, maybe 2 or 3 zucchini last summer, she got a lot of zucchini. So
yeah,
it is interesting like that one person can have a lot of success, which is one of the reasons that it's awesome. And hopefully your mom will just be your go-between if you do have questions, that we always preach how amazing the Facebook community is because you can get a lot of information that way.
Speaking of that, Tara, so one of Tara's biggest growths from last year was her cucumbers. And I got all my seedlings 3 weeks ago and everything was beautiful and wonderful. And guess what died?
Your cucumbers.
My one cucumber. Huh. I do not understand it.
Can I tell you though? I think it's too early.
It might be.
Because remember I told you that when I was doing my thing, they are in stock right now. So they are shipping them out. But when I looked at, because I created this whole nerdy spreadsheet, and when I looked at the season actually says, and now I can't remember, but I just know the reasoning why I haven't purchased cucumbers yet is it either says summer or probably more late spring. And I was ordering in the beginning of March. So it might have been because we still have had some chilly nights.
Oh,
so
I
think that has
way colder than normal,
which is so nice about growing indoors is you don't have to worry about any of that. I don't know if you guys, you might take a listen to one of our previous, a couple episodes ago, we talked to Natalie and Kathy. I'm sure you're familiar with Natalie Santiago.
I'm very familiar and I listened to that podcast.
Yeah. Okay. So she's a great resource because she grows indoors. And I asked her because I'd heard so many people indoors about a fan. Now, do you guys have a fan?
Yeah.
Okay.
We keep a ceiling fan on 24/7. So
okay.
Oh, cool.
We have to turn the farm stand so that it gets all the plants.
we rotate the farm stand to make sure all sides get exposure to the fan equally.
Oh, are nice. You guys okay. on a dolly or are you just doing it on the ground?
We have a dolly.
Awesome. Yeah. A lot of people have been asking about that too lately.
Yeah, some people are like, is that really necessary? And I say,
I say yes.
I wouldn't dream of not having a dolly.
Especially if we have to move it for any reason.
It's so heavy. You wouldn't realize when you first put it together, it's really light, right?
I read it was 850 pounds with the water. That's what it said.
And it feels like 1,050 to me.
Yeah, totally. I agree. It is
and
super
mine's
heavy.
On like, uneven outdoor like rock style paver so it, even with the dolly it's like
sometimes too.
I think it's gonna like knock over or something.
Mine's in the same boat. I feel like my dolly, if I didn't have the dolly, I don't know what I would do, but my dolly is also a total pain because it's also on unlevel ground, and so you know I'm like fighting with it. But there's one way, if I move it just one particular way and I have to figure out what it is, then it's fine.
I don't know if you heard on that, then Natalie also said that like to shake, she shakes her because she doesn't use a fan.
She shakes hers. I've heard other people use an electric toothbrush and pollinate with an electric toothbrush.
What?
Yeah, I read that somewhere. I thought we would try that when it comes to flowering time.
Wow. Well, you'll have to check back in with us and let us know how that works. I am the queen of not being good at pollinating, hence my zucchini.
Maybe that's what happened to your zucchinis. I was definitely hand pollinating. I didn't at first, and I was definitely growing some, but then they started dying as summer wore on, and I was getting these, like, they'd grow to be about 4 inches, and then they'd like dehydrate themselves. And so I was losing a lot. So I started hand pollinating because, again, you learn so much about hydroponic gardening when you were in this Facebook group. And I didn't know anything about it before. and remember, my dirt garden, my zucchini was the only one that the bunnies didn't eat. And that was the only zucchini that I think has ever lived that only produced male flowers, no females. So I would go out there and like take a paintbrush and like paint the stamen. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
The stamen. Yeah. I would paint that from the male flower and take it to the female flower. And like somebody said all they did was open it. They like shook a can of 7-Up and sprayed it all over their farm stand. All the bees came and everything pollinated and it was beautiful. Don't know why I didn't do that. But
I might try that this year.
More zen approach.
I might try that this year, but I'm like terrified of ants in San Diego.
Yeah. Ants are the worst.
Until I thought about how bees are attracted to like sugary like smells
and butterflies like, too.
The sugar water, so
yeah,
it made sense after a second.
Are you growing tomatoes and zucchini on your stand?
Not on the stand currently because lettuce grow advised against it because we're indoors. So we're thinking about getting a second stand for outside now that we've had so much fun with the inside. And we are growing zucchini and tomatoes in our dirt garden. So
Okay. Awesome. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
It's turning us into gardeners, isn't it, Mariah? We're not convinced we can grow.
I have a collection of plants on our windowsill in the kitchen.
That's awesome.
And I take care of them daily.
That's really cool. I've had
a lot of fun with it. You've gotten real interested in all things gardening, haven't you, honey? I have.
Well,
I was already
interested in plants. This just made it more accessible.
That's a great point. It did. Yeah. It made it more accessible for you. And now it's something like, have your friends come? Well, I don't know how Texas is right now. We still aren't having really friends come over out here in the epicenter of the pandemic, but we're getting better anyway.
So you talk to your friends every day and you tell them all about
it. I talk to my friends every day and I send them pictures of the garden and they seem interested by it.
Do they?
That's cool. That's awesome. I would love to see kids get more involved. And I always preach about how disconnected Americans are from our food source and where things come from, whether it be vegetables or our protein sources. And I think that that's a great education. You might actually like... I repeat myself over and over again. I'm like a fanatic about certain things. Mariah, you might like, there's a movie called The Biggest Little Farm.
Oh,
and if
so
you're
good.
Into, it's so good. And you will, if you like the science behind the farm stand, you'll love the science behind.
You've got to watch it.
It's such a great movie.
The Biggest Little Farm?
The Biggest Little Farm, and I think it's on.
I think it's Netflix.
No, it wasn't on. It might now be on Netflix. I think I found it on Hulu, but it's been a while. Those things jump around.
We have Hulu.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that.
Just Google where to watch it, and you'll love it. It's really
There's some sensitive farm animal sections that are a little, but it watch the whole from beginning to end. Is just, it's such a beautiful story. It's a true story, so it's kind of narrative. But I think that you would really like it because it really gets into, and it talks about like our food source and all of that. Have you been home from school this year a lot?
Yeah, more than at school, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is that, do you think that's part of your, what's brought you interest? Or were you already back at school?
I was already back at school when we started the farm stand.
Okay.
But you've been home more since.
But I've been home more because pandemic.
And yeah. You really like growing the stand. It really gives you something that you enjoy. You get up in the morning and that's the first thing you look at.
It's an extra hobby.
Yeah. Even though kids are back, my son is a rare, because he goes to a small private school. So they've actually have been in school most of the school year. But even back in school, are you in high school? You're a freshman?
Mm-hmm.
Same as my son. So even though he is in school, a lot of that extra fun, stuff of high school has not been going on. So I did wonder if that is maybe part of it, you know, something to do and put your energy into.
You've had some anxiety and depression related to the pandemic, haven't you, in school? Like they had mandated testing this week. Tell them about your mandated testing.
There was a mandated STAR test.
Everybody had to go into school for that.
A couple days ago, and everybody had to go into school and sit in a classroom for hours on end with no information as to what was happening, really. And we weren't allowed to be on our devices at all. I later found out, thanks to social media, that they had tried to get online STAR testing, but the entire state of Texas had a crash in that system.
Oh, no.
So you guys had to pay the price of that.
Yeah, all of us just had to
sit quietly, and they couldn't communicate with each other. They couldn't leave the room. Even when you ate lunch, you had to eat lunch in that room. So that was yesterday or the day before
that
yesterday?
Was the day before yesterday.
And so last night she didn't sleep. She was at pacing all night. So the farm stand really helps you cope with some of that stuff, doesn't it, honey? It gives you another outlet to focus on something positive. And one of your big frustrations has been not being able to talk with your friends or sit with them or interact or eat with them even at lunch, right?
Yeah.
Do you find any comfort in the sound that the farm stand makes?
Yes.
Me too.
It's soothing.
Isn't it great?
I'm a little bummed because mine is in an area of our yard that our house is like an original old house like this. And then we have a big kind of den that's built off the back of my husband, since he normally travels, has commandeered that as his office. The farm stand sits behind that. So it's kind of away from the main part of the house. And I'm always jealous when I walk back there to like ask him something in the office. I'm like, oh, he gets to enjoy this beautiful sound of my gorgeous, and he doesn't eat vegetables, so he doesn't even really appreciate the sound anyways. He likes to see what I've grown. Like I like to pull like a giant head of romaine in and show him that it's bigger than my head. But so that's awesome that it's giving you something to focus on, because I think that's why Stephanie and I both got our farm stands right at the beginning of the pandemic. So it makes sense that, we have asked a lot of our kids this year. So
we really have. And I'm awesome glad to that, hear it,
that you found. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really glad to hear that it's given you some sort of like, excuse me, distraction or deterrent or like joy or something positive, because your generation, I think between, you know, 5 to 15, my kids are 5 and 8, Tara's is 15, you're 15. That's like a huge, you guys are still developing so much about yourselves and about your interests and about your habits and all of that. And then having to be locked down for the better part of a year is really stressful and really awful, what it's done to that generation of kids. And so it's really neat to see the positive effect that the stand has had on kids everywhere and kids like you.
I think that there are going to be some great things that come out of it. Absolutely. So you're probably like, you're going to see there's probably kids like you that will have learned a new skill that they wouldn't maybe have had time to do because they were wrapped up going to, you know, football games or whatever, like, all those high school type things that you're doing. Or I know for my son, he didn't really like school very much, and it has definitely given him an appreciation for getting to go to school because he sees his friends around him that aren't going and he gets to go. And, you know, I think that there, hopefully there will be positives, but I do think this whole generation will be impacted by
absolutely
the things that come out of this. So how about your brother? Is he home? He lives at home?
He does. Yes. He was in the dorms and he came home because the dorms closed. So he's doing school from home.
Okay.
And he's an IT major. So he took, do you want to walk over and share what he did with all the electronics?
And I cannot explain any of it. I don't know if you can see what he did. He put them on a board
piece. Oh, wow.
He mounted them to a board. I don't really remember how he did it.
Mine is the building expert and Luke is the electronics.
I can do the building part, but the electronics scare me.
Is he interested in it past that? Like, has he shown any interest in the actual plant part of it?
Not really, I would say.
Yes, really, Miami. If we need him, he'll come in here and he'll help us. And he does come in when we do the pH test, when you do the pH testing and I watch you do it.
Well, that's really neat. So it's like, it really is a family affair. It's like everyone has a role.
Tamaya's dad is sick. He's got young onset late stage Parkinson's.
Oh God, I'm sorry
and
to hear that.
He fell a week ago Friday and nearly took out his right eye and he can't participate in it. So for us, it's an added happy thing between the three of us because we've got a lot of things that are really hard and hurtful. And that's part of seeing Liliana alive and thriving is fun, isn't it?
I love that name. I'm glad that you took it before I heard about it because I might stolen it. I like that name. We got our L's too, our Letty and our Lucy. I think Letty, Lucy, and Liliana are our buddies for sure. That is some rough stuff. We have some, my son was just diagnosed with a chronic illness, and I know that that's a family diagnosis.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So, I mean, not to take anything away from your husband, because obviously he is the one dealing with the brunt of it, but
it absolutely does affect the whole family.
Absolutely.
It's not one person thing. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, so I can see why that would be an added, a joy to just have somewhere else to focus your energy is always important when you're dealing with something like that.
Now, is it something that your dad has been a part of at all, or is he not able to?
He's not able to, honestly.
He's not able to. Well,
He's just not able to participate.
Okay. Well, we are going to hold your dad in our hearts and wish all the best for you and your family. And we are so glad that you have something that is able to give you some joy through a really hard time in the world and in your personal home.
Yeah.
I know,
as a parent, I'm sure that your dad is probably joyful of the fact that you have something like that, that makes you happy and gives you.
Your mom certainly is, isn't she?
Yeah.
What would you say to other teenagers who were interested in a farm stand, Mimi?
I don't know.
Would you tell them to try it?
Yeah.
What would you tell them to grow?
Spinach and garlic chives?
Probably whatever their favorite vegetable or fruit is.
What if they were like Luke, not a vegetable eater? What would you encourage them to try? Arugula?
No. The last thing I would suggest to people who don't eat a lot of vegetables.
That's my favorite. I love it.
I love it too.
Do you guys have any rainbow chard on there?
We do have rainbow chard. We've got cilantro. We've got violas. Mm-hmm. We've got nasturtiums. We've got cilantro, we've got basil, we've got Toscano kale, and Italian parsley. We've got cutting celery. We've got all the different kinds of lettuce. We've got strawberries and green beans and spinach and chives.
Do you guys have everything labeled?
Mm-hmm.
Or, yeah.
We don't have any cool labels. We've got labels. I'd like to eventually invest in
pretty simple labels.
And we'll show you.
Can you see the cilantro?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
That's awesome.
And here's Toscano kale. I think those are the onion chives, right, Mariah?
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Onion chives. And these are garlic chives.
Are you guys celery? You're planning on eating all the flowers that you're growing?
Yes.
Have you eaten nasturtium before, Mariah?
Mm-mm.
Do you have any recommendations about it? It's great in a salad. It has a peppery taste to it,
I like that.
Almost spicy, like a wasabi is spicy, where it just hits your tongue, but it doesn't stay in that way. And both the leaves and the flowers are not as peppery, but the leaves are, they have a nice texture to them too. We had them growing when I was little. I haven't grown any on the stand because we have so many in our yard that just kind of grow wild. And I feel like, what a waste. But then I won't eat the ones in my yard because I have dogs. So I don't trust them. But I will be interested in an update on what you think of the nasturtium.
Yeah.
Color, the thing that I'm most excited about that we're growing under the farm lights is our cucamelon. Can you see?
I haven't, but I've heard such amazing things. Have you had them, Stephanie?
I'm excited about what we're planting in this, which is jalapenos, because they're starting to root now.
Yeah, I'm growing those too. I'm so excited.
Can you see how you're growing things in the green containers?
Oh, yeah.
We're using what are those things called, Mimi?
Root riot.
Yeah.
And we have 100% germination on everything. It's really phenomenal. So
isn't that cool? Really
exciting. It's very exciting. Yes.
I'm doing really that with my cucumbers right now to see if I can get them to take because
I feel like
cucumbers.
I feel like this is the final straw in my shaming of not doing seedlings myself. If the teenager could do seedlings from scratch, I certainly can figure it out.
You know what? It's super easy, isn't it, Mike? Because you just put those, if you'll save your green thing, you put
the root riot and all the little green compartments. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all of them, and then you just label them and you just water them daily.
That's
and keep them in
so
light.
Smart, Stephanie.
That's
so they
super
used,
smart.
You reused the lettuce grow.
We reuse the lettuce grow containers. We save them and we use a big rubber band around them to keep them closed. We use the grow lights to give them enough sunlight. And then we water them every day and we put water in a spray bottle and we put worm juice in it. We have a girlfriend who...
Worm juice.
It's worm liquor, I've heard people call it.
Explain the worm garden before you get to worm juice. So we have a worm garden, and I'm terrified of worms, but Mariah's name is the worm garden because I'm scared to touch a worm, but she takes care of the worms, and she gets upset if anybody messes with
worms. I have
an
emotional connection to those worms now.
Amazing.
Our produce, we feed them, we can't, no, our gut, our, no, le, no,
onions, because that will harm them. No citrus because it takes them a long time to break that down. No onion because it harms their tiny bodies.
And so she stands guard and doesn't let anybody put anything in the worms. But we've got a hole drilled in the bottom and then they're tinkered comes in.
Eggshells so they can use
that. We crush eggshells and we get eggs from an organic free-range farmer. And we're kind of in that. We're from California. I'm from California. So
California, I live in Texas.
You got a little hippie in you.
I love it. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And so, but I'm scared of some of that stuff, but mine's not. So we drain off the worm pee and we call it worm juice. And then we dilute it in water. The plants are absolutely, I'll send you pictures in an email. Our outside garden is just amazing because they love the worm.
We harvested today and we only got a fourth of the plants and our giant Tupperware is now filled.
Gosh, that is incredible.
And so we use that with the seed for seedlings. We spray them with diluted water and worm pee and they love it and they're sprouting and thriving. and they love it. The plants absolutely get so happy about it. If you dilute it out, they love it. And our girlfriend, who is the egg farmer, taught us to harden the plants. So we're learning to, we're trying to harden them now. Once you, we killed our first ones, but she's told us that we need to
put them outside until it's like what, nighttime?
Yeah.
Oh. And then you take them inside because the nights are too cold for them, and they're still to learn to adapt to the new way of growing, which is getting your nutrients from the soil.
So we give them warm, diluted warm water, and water them frequently. And we're careful. We're experimenting. We'll let you know if we're successful. We haven't been yet.
Well, we've been successful when they were inside. We just haven't been successful with the hardening part yet.
I've actually just heard that this week. I follow someone else who does a outdoor garden that she does everything from seed, and I had never heard of the hardening before. That's such an interesting concept where you're just basically acclimating them slowly.
Yes.
Until they get to a certain point. There's another thing about this whole thing, which let us grow is like it's at the perfect time in history, right? Because, I sometimes wonder, how did anyone garden without social media or the internet? Like, how did anyone learn how to do any, like my dad has always had this prolific garden. And I'm like, how did you learn any of these things? Like, I learned so much just from like Instagram and the community page and, you know, a Google, which I'm sure that's probably where your research was. So we are, we're lucky to be alive.
Lucky to be alive.
What does my son say? What a time to be alive.
It is really true. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have had you on. We are, like I said earlier, going to be holding you all in our hearts with your dad and with everything going on with him. We are so glad that you're a part of this community. Mom, if you let her on Facebook, then she could be a part of that community too. I don't know if that's a thing.
But it's the problem that I don't like the way it's.
Yeah, I just feel like Mariah could add so much about worm juice to the group, because I have never heard that before just now. So you guys just rocked my world.
Take a picture of your worm garden.
We'll have to take a picture of the worm garden.
Yeah.
Yes.
We definitely want to see that. You should do a tutorial, like a how to, and we'll share that. But you guys, again, thank you so much. And it's been a pleasure. And we can't wait to talk to you again.
Oh, we so enjoyed meeting you. Thank you again.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.